Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's turn now to a question raised by two different art shows in Massachusetts. How does a global economy affect daily life and the creation of art? Asia in Amsterdam at the Peabody Essex Museum displays art in the 17th century Netherlands when the Dutch East India Company was at its peak. And you might have seen the large inflatable red lotus flower in front of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. That's part of their new Mega Cities Asia exhibit, a collection of huge sculpture pieces from artists based in Beijing, Shanghai, Delhi, Mumbai, and Seoul. Sebastian Smee, Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe, wrote about these two shows, and he joins us now in the studio. And Sebastian, always great to have you.
Great to be here. Hi, Anthony.
So let's start with the exhibit at the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem. It's called Asia in Amsterdam, The Culture of Luxury in the Golden Age. And in your review of the show, you wrote that the exhibit should be seen not only by art lovers, but by everyone who owns, runs, or works for a business.
Right. Well, you know, I said that because, you know, it tells an astonishing story, and yeah. It's really all about commerce. It's about the famous Dutch East India Company, which many people, you know, say was the first joint stock company in the world, and maybe even the first sort of globally recognized brand. It was formed in around 1602, and it began trading spices, okay? So it tried to sort of follow some of the trade routes that had been established by the Portuguese, took over those routes, and began trading nutmeg and cinnamon and other spices, pepper and mace and so on. In fact, it's great when you walk into the show, you first sort of smell these spices because they've put some
nice
in containers there. It's very evocative. And then over the following century or so, you know, which of course was the Dutch Golden Age, it just thrived and became one of the most, you know, successful businesses of all time. So the show is just a brilliant show all about this trade and about the taste for sort of exotic and luxurious goods that it created back in Europe and especially in the Netherlands.
Interesting. It sounds wonderful. You also advise in your review that business people should toss away those How to Succeed in Business by Breaking All the Rules books and just go to this exhibit. How so?
Well, you know, I just think you can learn a great deal about, you know, expansion, about, you know, all the ways in which these traders had to solve problems. It's interesting, you know, the Netherlands was a republic, a freshly born republic at this point. So they didn't have the kind of credibility that a country which had royalty still would have, and they couldn't sign big sort of treaties between countries. They were just kind of bourgeois merchants, and in that sense, less respected than perhaps other European countries or people from other European countries might have been. But that worked for them quite well. You know, they were good at ingratiating themselves with Asian leaders and rulers, and sort of existing on the outskirts or the periphery of big trading centers. And sort of endearing themselves to them and setting up trade. And it wasn't all about, I mean, there was plenty of military conflict, but it was more about negotiation. And I think that's fascinating.
Really interesting. Now, this exhibit, if I understand it correctly, contains a lot of luxury goods as art, but there are also paintings by Dutch masters such as Rembrandt and Van der Heyden, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great from that point of view. You have some beautiful paintings. So anyone who saw the MFA exhibition not long ago, Class Distinctions, which was all about Dutch Golden Age art, we'll see a lot of familiar names in this show. And what's interesting about these still lifes, for instance, is that you see tables kind of groaning with exotic goods brought back from Japan, from China, from the East Indies, which is now Indonesia, of course, and from other countries in that area. And they're painted beautifully, and, you know, there are silks, there's porcelain, beautiful fashions, of course, as well. So you see this influence, which was just incredibly strong, and the taste for these luxurious goods got bigger and bigger and greater over the course of that century.
Now, you write as well about some of the atrocities that occurred as a result of the Dutch East India Company. Dutch merchants, for example, murdered upwards of 10,000 inhabitants of the Banda Islands in Indonesia when they wouldn't sell spices to the Dutch exclusively. Is any of that reflected in the artwork or these luxury objects that are on display?
It's certainly talked about in the show and emphasized in the show. They have big sections about it. There's a lot of text in the show, but it's presented in a really attractive and engaging way. So you learn about some of these atrocities. The Dutch could be extremely ruthless. There's no question about that. But just as a matter of practicality, they realized that it wasn't usually in their favor to be so ruthless and to be a big military operation. And they became much better as time went on negotiating. But these are pretty confronting things to learn about.
All right. Well, so that's at the Peabody Essex Museum. So I want to move on to this wonderful exhibit that you wrote about, Megacities Asia, which will open at the MFA this Sunday. Tell us about the inspiration behind this.
Right. Well, it's great, you know, because the MFA has one of the world's great collections of historical Asian art. But they also embrace contemporary Asian art. And this show, I think, is a brilliant idea. It concentrates on those cities that you mentioned, Delhi, Mumbai, Beijing, Shanghai, and so
big megacities with huge populations.
Yeah, their sort of working definition of a megacity is 10 million or more. They've left out Tokyo, which is, you know, the world's biggest city, but these others are there. And, you know, the work that's on display is, for the most part, large-scale installations, really eye-catching, really engaging. It spills out of the main exhibition space into the museum itself and even outside. You mentioned the big sort of breathing flower out the front of the museum. I noticed today when I was there that it's actually deflated because it's too windy, but it's pretty eye-catching when it's up. And, you know, these artists are engaging with the realities of these huge cities in a way that in some ways is critical, in other ways celebratory. So you've got a lot of art that's made from junk, for instance, which we see accumulate in cities.
Yeah, I'm looking actually at a picture online from your piece. It's a work by Aditi Joshi, and it's a huge sculpture of bright colors made from plastic bags, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, she has treated those plastic bags, sort of exposing them to heat, extreme heat, fire, and so on, and they've shriveled and created these strange shapes. And then she's bunched a huge number of them together, and they sort of float like a colored cloud in the gallery space. It's really beautiful. And then, of course, you realize that it's made from this refuse.
From garbage,
sort of, yeah. It's an ambivalent kind of piece.
Another piece you wrote about, which I'd love you to talk a little bit about in your review, 8x12 by Mumbai artist Hema Upadhyay. It's a box that is 8 feet by 12 feet, the average size of a dwelling in a Mumbai slum.
That's right. I know. So it's got this really weird sort of tension between, you know, this small scale. You feel very kind of cramped in there, almost claustrophobic, although it's got a big open end. And on the other hand, you feel like you're seeing this sort of aerial view of the city. She's made it from, you know, corrugated metal and used car parts and so on. But it really looks very much like an aerial view of this slum. And again, you know, she's not trying to create negative feelings about this slum. She's very fond of it. She celebrates the liveliness of it. But it really gives you a strong and sobering sense of what it might like to be there.
You know, Sebastian, it's interesting because it seems like these two exhibits kind of bring us almost full circle. I mean, Asia and Amsterdam and then the West and Asian, sort of Western refuse, I guess, in Asian cities. Did that occur to you?
Yeah, it absolutely did. It's a great point. You know, again, though, I think it comes back to commerce. You know, I mean, when you look at history, you would like to be able to sort of cordon things off neatly and tell clean stories about, you know, the progress of nations and so on. But trade makes everything unbelievably messy and full of ironies. And that comes through in both shows. And that's why, I think they're such a great match.
There's also something sort of positive about this rich exchange between cultures. I mean, I think sometimes, an exhibit made out of plastic bags, it kind of reminds you of the refuse that's somehow exported around the world from the West. Yeah. But the fact that they've created beauty out of it, I find that very hopeful.
I agree. You know, and I think that's a big aspect to both shows. They're very hopeful. They have a lot of sobering historical realities to them. But there's just a great deal of beautiful work in them. And so, you know, that's something to celebrate for sure.
All right. Well, Sebastian Smee is a Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe. He joins us regularly on Radio Boston to talk about art. You can find a link to his reviews of both shows at radioboston.org. Sebastian, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Great to see you. Always a pleasure to hear you. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.